Thank you. I appreciate that. And Jay, thank you for the introduction. And I want to say what a joy it is for me to be with you. Glad to be with you today. And I didn't recognize Aaron. I thought his beard. Did you? Yeah, he has no beard, so but it looks a little different. Actually, the first time I've seen him. But his picture online and has the beard, and so it was good to see him today for the first time. And great to be here at Red Village. You probably tell the Texas accent. I am from Texas, from the Dallas area. Pastor of First Baptist Church of Garland there, which is a suburb of Dallas to the northeast and a very metropolitan area within a 15-minute drive time of our church. We have 1 million people, and so a lot of people there, a lot of churches there, and we're in a very old church. We chartered in 1868 as a church, and so we're downtown location, stained glass windows, and one thing that as I've been there pastors for 10 years, and one of the things I've emphasized since I've been there is God did not call us to just stay behind stained glass. The gospel is lived out in the lives of people outside the walls of the church. And so we've gotten outside the walls of the church locally and throughout the state, throughout the nation, internationally. So we have partnerships literally all over the world where we send mission teams and send support and resource and things like that. And so I feel like that's how God would have us to live out the gospel. We found out about Red Village, and we were so impressed with what God is doing here, how He's moving in the 4 years that you've been in existence, and how He's moving and working in this setting here in Madison. And so you've been an encouragement to us, and so we have seen you as a partner and wanted to come alongside, and so we prayed for you. When I very first heard your theme, I knew I liked the church. I loved it. Where a wooden cross and an empty tomb make all the difference. I heard that theme. We have a ministers meeting every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, and we have nine ministers that meet. And Jim Witt, our missions minister, shared that theme, and I said, "I love that. That is a great theme because that is exactly right." And so found out more about Red Village, what you're doing, and how you're doing it, and how God's moving. And we felt like that God would want us to say, "How can we help you? How can we resource you? And how can we help you accomplish impacting the kingdom here as He's called us to impact the kingdom where we are." We're about the same thing, impacting the kingdom for Jesus Christ. And so you've been a blessing to us. Just even though we've not known you, you've been an encouragement and a blessing to us. So thank you for that. We appreciate you. And also, just to let you know why I'm here today, I'm a huge college football fan. I'm, of course, Oklahoma Sooner fan. And every year, whenever OU has an off weekend, well, not off weekend, they're off a lot of weekends, but I mean a bye week, put it that way. Whenever they have a bye week, I usually go to a different venue across the country, just personally go and see a game. And so Camp Randall has been on my list. I've always wanted to see a game here. And so I thought, well, what a great weekend to go. I can visit Red Village and I can go to a game. And so I set the trip up to come and go and visit your church. And Aaron was so kind to say, while you're there, why don't you preach for us? And so that's why I'm here. And so thank you so much. You've been generous. And I appreciate Aaron and the elders, the membership, all of you, for trusting me to share God's word with you today. So that's a little bit of why I'm here and the background that we have with Red Village. And I just want you to know that as a church, we're going to be praying for you in the days to come, that God will bless you, raise up people He wants to be here, and just use you in a great way. Your North Campus, everything you're doing, we just want to pray for you that God would bless you in the days to come. So once again, thank you for inviting me here to minister. And I want to share one verse of Scripture. And it's a challenge to me. I ran across it years ago. It's been a challenge to me. I want to challenge you with it this morning. So turn with me, Genesis 5:24, one verse of Scripture, one passage we'll look at. Genesis 5:24 this morning. You know, they say that walking is a great way to stay healthy and to stay physically fit. I like to stay physically fit. I usually run about 4 miles a day, 5 days a week. Yesterday, I got in a good run after the ball game along Mineral Point Road there for 4 miles. Great day to run, sunny, had a good breeze. Today in Texas, the forecast in Dallas is to be 90 degrees, so I'm glad I'm in Madison today. 90 degrees, a 90 yesterday, and it's supposed to be 90 again today, so I was thankful for the breeze and running along Mineral Point Road yesterday. But walking, running, staying fit is what they say we're supposed to do. In fact, according to an organization called Global Health Authority, you need to walk 10,000 steps a day in order to be what's called the active category or the fit physically fit category, 10,000 steps a day. Now, the average person walks about between 1,000 and 3,000 steps a day. And the average person's stride is 2.5 feet. So, if you do the math, if you calculate it, about 2,000 steps is about a mile. About 10,000 steps is about 5 miles. So, according to this organization, to be in the fit category, you need to walk about 5 miles a day. Okay? Now, it takes about 2,000 steps to walk off a can of Coca-Cola. That's kind of discouraging, isn't it? Okay? So you're putting more in, you got to walk it off, but that's to be in a physically fit category. Now, walking is not just important physically. We see from our passage this morning that walking is also important spiritually. Because in this passage this morning, we're going to see that in order to grow with God, to grow in Jesus Christ, to be active spiritually, we have to walk with God. Vital. Your vital walk with God is absolutely necessary to your spiritual growth. Reading your Bible every day, sharing your faith, spending time in prayer, walking with Him, allowing God to be a part of every aspect of your life as you go. That is so vital in your Christian walk. And this morning, we're going to look at one verse of Scripture, one man's life, and a man that walked with God. He was a man named Enoch. So read with me, Genesis 5:24, only one passage I want to look at. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's the Amplified Bible's version. And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. And he was not, for God took him home to be with him. Wow. What a beautiful picture. That's the kind of life I want. That's the kind of intimate fellowship with God that I desire. That's what I want. Now, this morning, I want us to think about our personal walk with God. And just from this one verse, I want us to notice three lessons that Enoch teaches us about walking with God. Three lessons that he teaches us. I think you have it right here on the screen. So let's look at them. Three lessons that I see from it. First lesson, number one. Number one, remember that God honors you when other people don't remember. Number one, God will honor you if you walk with Him when other people will not remember. Now, I just want to be honest. Enoch is not one of the superheroes of the Bible. He is not one of those giants of the faith. My son is 11, and he's into superheroes. I've learned more about superheroes than I ever care to know about superheroes. I live superheroes all the time. Enoch is not one of the superheroes of Scripture. He is not one of those that you're going to show up in a children's class and you're going to hear the story of Enoch, like David and Goliath or Daniel of the lion's den and Samson. And he is not one of those. In fact, there may be some of you this morning never even heard of Enoch. We really don't know that much about him. In fact, here's what we know. First of all, we know what his name means. It means dedicated. Dedicated. What a great way to be known, dedicated. My name means, Gregory, means alert or vigilant or watchful. And I hope I can live up to my name. I hope I am that. But what a great name to have. There goes dedicated as he walks throughout the culture. And we know that he's only mentioned briefly in the Bible 3 times. Now, there is a reference to Enoch in Jude chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Most theologians don't feel like that's this Enoch. If it is, fine, but most likely it's not. So that means he's mentioned 3 times in the Bible, and 2 of them are in a list of genealogies. He's mentioned once in this passage, Genesis 5:24. He is mentioned in a second genealogy in Luke 3:37 in Jesus' genealogy. Wow, you talk about a good genealogy to be in. Jesus' genealogy. He's listed there. And then in Hebrews 11, which is faith's hall of fame, you know, you go through all the characters who are in the hall of fame because of their faith. He's listed in there, and all it says about him is he had a testimony that he pleased God. That's all we know. So here's a life the Bible mentions three times, and all we know is his name means dedicated. He never died. Walked with God into heaven one day. And we know that he pleased God and he walked with God. That's all we know. But you know, the bottom line is, when it's all said and done, that's how we all want to be remembered, isn't it? I mean, that's how I want to be remembered. That he walked with God. I mean, every day he got up, he invited God into his life to be the Lord of that day and throughout the course of the day. He practiced the presence of Jesus, as Brother Lawrence said, and he walked with God. And that's how I want to be known. What a great way to be known. I told you earlier that I like to run, but my walk is more important than my run. My walk with God is more important than I go out and run. Now, Enoch is he's not one of the great names of the Bible. We've all heard of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Samson and David and Solomon and Isaiah and Jonah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Mary and Joseph and Peter and James and John and Paul. And we know those names. But Enoch? I mean, Enoch was, he was not the father of Israel. That was Abraham. And he didn't build an ark. That was Noah. And he did not lead God's people through the promised land. And he did not lead them through the wilderness. And it was not Enoch that reached out the staff and held them up and the waters of the Red Sea parted. That wasn't Enoch. And Enoch didn't make the sun stand still, and Enoch didn't shut the mouths of lions, and it was not Enoch that received the Ten Commandments, and it was not Enoch that walked on water. You see, all Enoch did was walk with God. Faithful, behind the scenes, walked with God, and God honored him as a result of it. You know, you may not be very high profile. You may be. You may not be. You may not be very high profile at work or at school or wherever you go. You may never be one that stands on a platform and preaches or leads worship, or you may not be those. But you know what? If you walk with God every day, God will honor you through Jesus Christ as much as anyone else. On Sunday mornings at First Baptist Garland, we have a lot of people at work behind the scenes. We average about 1,600 on Sunday morning in worship. Have a lot of people on the platform, a lot of people that will stand and sing and lead out and speak. But we have more people than that behind the scenes doing things. And all the people behind the scenes doing things, I'm always telling them, God will honor you. God doesn't miss anything that you do. It doesn't matter if you're ever in the spotlight. It doesn't matter if you're ever on the platform. It doesn't matter, because in God's eyes, every single thing you do for Him, He remembers, He honors, and He blesses. The bottom line is, I would rather be honored by God than to be applauded by man. Much rather. I would rather be honored by God than be applauded by you or anybody. Because really, the bottom line is, when God honors you, that's what life's about. Taking your Creator through a relationship with Jesus Christ, walking hand in hand, living your life, Him living His life through you, Him empowering you. That's what it's all about. Simply walking with God. Now, one aspect of Genesis 5 I love. It's a genealogy list, and to be honest, genealogies are not real exciting to read, okay? I don't camp out in my devotional time in a genealogy list. Genesis 5 is they're important, especially for Jews, because very big on genealogy and your heritage is very big. It still is to this day in the Jewish community, but as far as I'm concerned, just reading through a list of begats is not real exciting. But I want you to notice something. Something I love about this list. When you reach the name Enoch in the genealogy list, it stops and it comments on his life. Rather than just saying, Enoch was the son of Jared, the father of Methuselah, the great-grandfather of Noah, rather than just going right through there, it stops and it says, oh yeah, by the way, that guy walked with God. And then it goes on. What's that all about? Why would God stop in a list of genealogies, just a list of names? Why would God stop over one man's name and say, oh yeah, he walked with me? Because he's trying to tell us something. He wants us to know how much he values that. And what's interesting is, in the genealogy, it does that for no one else in the whole list. Doesn't comment on anybody else's life. Just name after name after name after name after name. And one man stops and it comments on his life. I want to be that guy. I want to be the one God stops and says, he walks with me. What kind of life would make God stop and take notice? What kind of life would make God stop and give a commentary on it? A life that walks with Him. Don't you want to be like that? I do. Others may not remember you. God will honor you. Number two. Second lesson I see out of this. Number two. Walk with God even when the days are dark. Number two, walk with God even when the days are dark. Now, the time in which Enoch lived was a depressing time. It was a discouraging time. The days were full of evil. Times were not good. In fact, eight verses after the passage I read for you this morning, eight verses later, Genesis 6 begins to describe how evil was the world. 11 verses later, after Enoch was walking with God, Enoch mentioned, 11 verses later, God said about the times, He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And the Bible tells us right after that the Lord saw the wickedness upon the earth. In Genesis, the next chapter, 6 verse 6 says that God was grieved in His heart and that He was sorry that He ever made mankind. There has never been a culture worse than that one. Ever. And Enoch, in the midst of that culture, walked with God. Never under any generation did God ever say, I'm sorry I even made you. But He said that about Enoch's day. So, here's the picture. Days are dark. People are godless. People don't care about God. In the midst of that culture and that day, one man says, Lord, I don't care what anyone else does. I'm going to walk with you every day. I'm going to take my relationship with you seriously. I'm walking with you in the midst of that culture. He walked with God even when the days were dark. You know, I hear all the time people tell me, Pastor, it's just so hard. It's just so hard to live the Christian life. We're in a secular culture, and it's just so hard to be a Christian at school. It's hard to be a Christian at home. It's hard to be a Christian at work. We don't know what it's like the days of Enoch. They were worse. I'm sure it's difficult for a believer in your culture here in Madison. I'm sure that's the case. It's difficult where we are. It's difficult everywhere to take your faith and live your faith. But it was even more difficult for Enoch. He did it. Now, I need to mention something to you. I don't want to mislead you. Okay? I need to say something. Not just anybody can walk with God. Not just anybody can walk with Him. Today, if you're sitting out there and you go, yeah, you know, Pastor, you're right. That's a great passage. I want to be a person like that. I'm going to start walking with God. Not just anybody can. Because you cannot walk with God unless you have a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Nowhere in the Bible does God call a lost person a child of God. Never. I hear all the time, we're all children of God. No, we're not. Nowhere in Scripture does the Bible ever call an unbeliever a child of God. The only way that we can have a relationship with God and walk with God is through Jesus Christ. Where we realize that we're sinners, that our sin has transgressed our relationship with God, and the holy God can't look upon sinfulness, and I've sinned, and so I needed someone to take my place. And so 2,000 years ago, I wasn't there. I didn't see it happen, but Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, walked 33 years upon this earth, and then on Passover was crucified as my atonement. And I wasn't there. I didn't see it, so I believe by faith that Jesus' death 2,000 years ago somehow was atoning for my sins in 2014. I believe that by faith. And whenever I believe that enough to rest my entire weight upon Jesus, receive Him into my life, John calls it receiving Jesus. Whenever I receive Him and say, Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but I believe it by faith. And I believe it was somehow atoning for my sins. Would you come into my life? Would you be my Lord? Would you change my life and take control of my life? And when you have said that prayer, now it's not a prayer that saves you, it's faith that saves you, but prayer is the vehicle through which you express it. And whenever you do that and pray that prayer, Jesus comes into your life. He made a promise to you that you would never perish, you would have everlasting life. And He doesn't break promises. So whenever you do that, at that point, you can begin to walk with God. But not until that point. Because that's the point at which Jesus Christ comes in and you have a relationship with Him. Now, Genesis 5:24 says He walked with God. Pastor, what does walk mean? Well, as you know, Old Testament was written in Hebrew. It's the word halak. Literally means your everyday normal activity of walking. So in the course of your everyday activity, you take Jesus Christ and God as your Lord and Savior, and He is the Lord of your life, everything you do that day. So let me ask you a question. Do you do that? Have I just described your day? You get up. You commit your day to the Lord, and every part of that day is God-filled. Even in the midst of difficult times and culture and difficult days. So many Christians around the world are walking with God in some very difficult circumstances. And a while back, God laid upon my heart burden for the persecuted church. Believers around the world in cultures that are very hostile to the gospel, North Korea tops the list. My son and I, we have a list of the top 10 persecuted nations for believers in Jesus. My son and I will take that list and we'll pray through it at night before he goes to bed. God, would you bless the believers in Afghanistan and Iraq? And would you bless the believers and empower the believers in North Korea? And in fact, in our church, in this coming January on Sunday nights, Pastor Jim, our missions minister, is going to be preaching. And every Sunday night in January, we're going to highlight another area of the world where believers are persecuted and lift them up and encourage them. We write letters to them all the time to encourage them. Hey, we're praying for you. They're walking with God in some very difficult circumstances. Let me tell you a story I read just recently. 33-year-old young lady from North Korea, Kim Young Jin, 33 years old. She escaped her country. She came to America, and she told about her experience as a Christian in North Korea. Here's what she said. She said, every Saturday night, we lived in a small apartment, my family and I, every Saturday night we would gather for worship. We would go to a very back room in our apartment because we didn't want to be heard. So we went to a very back room away from walls of other people who could hear. We would go back there, we'd get a towel and we'd put it over our heads. Every one of us had a towel, put it over our heads. And we would whisper prayers. And we would whisper songs, praise songs. And we would whisper the Bible passage. And we would speak back and forth very quietly with our voices muffled in a towel. And we were still discovered. The government found out about what we were doing. Our apartment was raided. All the Bibles were taken. My father and my uncle ended up in hard labor, concentration camps, still there, because of what we did back of our apartment. Well, there are some believers today that are walking with God in some very difficult days. And Enoch taught us, you walk with God, God's going to honor you, God's going to be there with you, He's going to support you. He's not going to forget you. Walk with God even though the days are dark. And then number three, last point I want to share with you. Number three, you're going to be remembered by your walk. Number three, you will be remembered by your walk. Now, there was a story on ABC News a while back called Biometrics, and it was a story that a person's walk is unique. In the ABC News story, it said that a person's walk is becoming their new fingerprint, that every walk is different, that security cameras are getting information about the way a person walks, because your walk is unique. I walk a lot like my dad. My dad died. He's gone on to heaven now. But we walk very similar. We walk fast. We swing our arms a certain way. We just the way we walk is, I resemble my dad in the way I walk. But I want to resemble my heavenly Father in the way I walk even greater. Hebrews 11:5 says, here's Enoch's eulogy. It's his tombstone. Hebrews 11:5 says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, and he had a testimony that he pleased God. Now, as you know, the New Testament was written in the Greek language. The Greek word that is used there by the writer of Hebrews, whoever it was, whoever wrote the book. Some say Paul, doesn't sound like a Pauline letter, but whoever wrote Hebrews use the word aresko for the word please. Aresko literally means to change your opinions to those of another. Change your opinions to those of another. So Enoch had a reputation that he changed his opinions and values to those of God. God, whatever you value, I will value. What pleases you, pleases me. What you think's important, I think's important. What you're against, I'm against. What you're for, I'm for. That was his testimony. That was his epitaph on his tombstone. He pleased God. So no matter how you live your life or what you accomplish or what you do, you're most likely going to be remembered with one sentence. One sentence. After I'm dead and gone, people will say, oh, Greg Edmonds, yes, he blank. One sentence. How do you want your sentence to read? He was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Garland. That's not how I want my sentence to read. Not how I want to be remembered. He was a professor at Dallas Baptist University. Not how I want my epitaph to read. You know what I love for it to say? He walked with God. What a great inscription on your tombstone. He walked with God. I want to be remembered by my walk. Now the Bible says that Enoch walked so closely with God he never died. This blows my mind. Think about this. He walked so closely with God he never died. He just walked into heaven one day. Two people in the Bible never died. Elijah and Enoch. Elijah was just translated in a chariot of fire or whirlwind and just zoom went right up into heaven. We know Elijah's story, but what was the deal with Enoch? He didn't die. He just vanished. He just walked into heaven with God one day. The Greek transliteration of the Old Testament here is the word metatithemi. It means from going from one location to another location. He went from this location to that location. He just moved. One translation says, and he moved to be with God. I can picture it. God and Enoch out walking one day. Late in the evening. God says, you know, Enoch, I love this. I love this walking. It's why I created you for fellowship. You're giving the fellowship back to me. I love this. Enoch, we're walking together. It's getting late in the day. Enoch, you're just a little closer to my home than you are yours. Why don't you just come home with me? And he walked right into heaven. Just never died. Now, some people think, well, you know, Enoch, he's this old man, he's on a cane, God just felt sorry for him, took him on home to be with him. But if you read the ages in the genealogy list of Genesis 5, he wasn't an old man in that day. He was about middle age. He was about half the age of everybody else that died. So it wasn't like he's just this old man God felt sorry for, oh, just come on home with me. He's in the prime of his life. And he just walked into heaven. And the original wording is powerful. In the Hebrew where it says God took him, for he was not, for God took him, the word took is the word lakah. Literally means take someone by the hand. Get this picture. So God took him by the hand. And they walked to heaven together. Lakah was also used in Hebrew marriages to describe a Hebrew marriage. You take someone's hand. And God in the Old Testament through Hosea and other passages says we're married to Him. He just took Him and walked hand in hand to heaven. Don't you want to walk with God like that? I do. So here are some things that I have done personally. You don't have to do these, but these are things God just convicted me about. Lord, how do I walk with you better? As a pastor, as a believer, as a leader, God, how do I walk with you better? And He led me to three or four things I jotted down. First of all, I jotted down, focus on pleasing God first. My job is not to please my church first. I hope my church is happy with it. Been there 10 years, celebrated 10 years 2 weeks ago. Great church. We love them. They love us. But you know, my job is not to please my church first. It's to please God first. It's not to please my family. Love my wife and love my little boy. But my job is not to please them first. And so I wrote down, God, I want to please you first. And the word please changed my opinions to your opinions. Second thing I jotted down. Lord, I want to be conscious of your awareness all throughout the day. Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of Jesus. Lord, I want to practice your presence. Sitting out at Camp Randall yesterday afternoon, practicing the presence of Jesus. It's easy when you're ahead 52 to nothing, isn't it? But practicing the presence of Jesus, wherever you go, whatever you do, be aware of His presence. Number three, I jotted down, Lord, in each circumstance I find myself, I want to ask, what would you do? That's kind of trite, what would Jesus do? And sometimes people have taken that and really just kind of misused it. But it's really a great question. Lord, what would you do and what do you want me to do in this situation? God, help me to do what's right. Sometimes what's right and what's easy are not the same. God, help me to do what's right. Lord, in every circumstance, help me to do the right thing. Another one, fourth one I jotted down, I said, Lord, I'm going to do nothing else at the beginning of every day until I talk to you. Lord, I want to hear your voice first to begin my day, nobody else's. So, when my day begins, I don't reach for my phone. I don't look at Facebook. I don't look at who texted me overnight. I don't look at my email until I've talked to God. Now, I didn't used to do that. Used to, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd reach over at my phone and see what text messages I had or what emails I had, or I'd go on fast Facebook or whatever, have my devotion then later. And God began to convict me, and you have to do this. This is just me, but God began to convict me. Lord, I need to hear from you first, nobody else first. Start the day. So, Lord, when I awaken every morning, yours is the first voice I want to hear. So I'm not reaching for my phone anymore, my iPad anymore. I say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for the day. Thank you for sustaining me through the night. Every day is a gift from you. I commit it to you. So, got one question for you. How's your walk? How's your walk with God? First of all, do you know Jesus as Savior? You can't walk with Him unless you do. If you know Jesus as Savior, most of you probably do. How's your walk? Are you walking with God every day, all day? One story, I'll close. Dr. Charles Weigel wrote the old hymn, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. You may have heard it, may not have heard it, but years ago, he went to Pasadena, California to lead a conference, a Bible conference. He got there early, and he decided to go walking in the rose gardens, beautiful rose gardens around Pasadena. And so he went out walking and looking at the beautiful rose gardens, and then it came time for him to go. So he left and he went back to the conference, and he met one of the locals, and they're welcoming him. And they said, I understand that you just got to visit one of our rose gardens. Hope you enjoyed it. And Dr. Weigel said, how did you know? I didn't tell you that. How did you know I just visited one of the rose gardens? He said, oh, it's easy. I smell the aroma of our roses on you when you walked in. Dr. Weigel said later, he said, you know, that taught me something. I need to have the aroma of Jesus. And when I go places, in the culture in which I live, I need to have His aroma that people recognize. Walking with Him, the aroma of Jesus. I hope you're that way. And Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Let's pray together. Father, I tell you how much I love you today. God, I thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus to die for me. And I thank you, God, for the relationship that I can have with you. And thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy through Jesus. Father, I pray that I will be one that walks with you. I pray that I will be known by that. I pray that will be my testimony when I die. God, that it's somebody that simply walked with you. Lord, I want to pray for every single person here. I pray for those that know Jesus as Savior, that Father, their walk with you, their Bible reading, their fellowship time with you, their prayer time will be vital and powerful, and their walk will be strong. Father, I want to pray for those today that may not know Jesus. They've never been to the place where they've received Jesus as personal Savior and Lord. May today be that day. Father, bless Red Village in the days to come. May it be the aroma of Jesus in this area. May this church be one that walks with you in such a powerful way. They are known for Jesus. God bless them. Empower the leadership. Empower the members. Every Sunday as they meet here, God, empower the worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.